The Bucks have a better team, gentlemen.
Bucks fans, you are here. It is the Ira Kaufman podcast, starring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Pasco County, America's columnist, hanging out with Roger Goodell solo today. Ira, can't wait to hear about that. But this is your podcast, Sage. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. We're fired up. It's the Super Bowl, podcast number one of this week. We've got a little bit of a special one coming up for number two, but it's all good, and it's all presented by Bill Curry Ford. Sage, so much to take in this week on all things Bucks from all angles, interviews everywhere. Of course, they're in the Super Bowl, no surprise, but a couple of your Sage impressions from the week. What stands out? How are you? Tell us about Goodell. What's going on?
Doing well, Steve. I'm waiting for my vaccine. That's the second thing on my mind. First thing is, where are they going to have the victory parade, gentlemen? I went down to the convention center today, and it's muted. There's no question about it. It's muted. And instead of, 85 Radio Row personnel, I see, 11 tables in use. I understand it, but Commissioner had his press conference today. I was invited to attend, which I did, and I was kind of leaning against the railing. And all these, media luminaries, the Peter Kings of the world, Sal Palantonio and Jared Bell from USA Today, Mark Maskey from the Washington Post. I know all these people over the years. And, about 10 minutes before Goodell's press conference started, he came out of the wings and he spotted me, leaning against the railing. I was just sipping on my bottle of water. And he makes a beeline over to me. He's had his mask on. I got my mask on. And he rubs elbows with me, which was fine. And, he asked me what's going on and, how's the family and this and that. I asked him, how's my town looking? We're looking out at, we're on the sixth floor of Amalie Arena. And so we're looking out at the skyline. I go, how's my town doing? Ah, fantastic job. The people here, Rob Higgins, Convention Center people, Chamber of Commerce, fantastic. We started talking about the Hall of Fame. It's his favorite trip of the year, is going to Canton in the summertime. And I know other people have said that too, and I've been there about four or five times. And if John Lynch gets in, or Rondé Barber, I'll be going back to Canton this summer. And I look forward to that trip. Look, if no Buck gets in, I don't go to Canton. But it's a fantastic trip. Anyway, I had a 10-minute conversation with the commissioner. I look over to my right, and while I'm knee-deep in conversation, there's Peter King waiting for an opening, waiting for a crack. He wants to get to Roger before the press conference starts, and, I finally finished off with Roger. I almost felt like going over to Peter King and said, hey, Roger, this is Peter King. I'd like to introduce you to. But I didn't do it, gentlemen. I thought that might have been cruel, but Lee, the excitement, you may not see it around downtown Tampa, but we all know it's there. The page views of Joe Bucks fan going through the roof. And I'm feeling very good about this game. What a dream matchup. Lee, what a fantastic matchup for the National Football League. You got to give him credit, Lee. 256 games on the schedule, 256 games played. I never thought that could happen. Bucks Super Bowl scheduled for February 7th, and here's the game. February 7th. I didn't think that would happen. But, we talked about COVID and the league's response, me and Roger. And I said, you did not want to use that 18th week. You didn't want to push back on that. He goes, no, I absolutely did not. We did everything in our power to keep the schedule the way it was. Look, if they had to make some kind of an emergency decision, Lee, they would have. But somehow they plowed through it. Here we are. Lee, I don't think the league could ask for a better matchup than we got on Sunday.
Not only a good matchup, but I love the example that the NFL used. So many people, oh my gosh, we have to cower under our desk in our house. We can't leave. We have to be prisoners and help us, help us. And the NFL said, I think it's a Marine motto, adapt, adjust, and overcome.
Nice.
The NFL did just that, and they finished the season on time, didn't have to cancel a game. Sure, they had to postpone a few.
That's right.
But if all of us as Americans would just use that same motto, adapt, adjust, overcome, we'll get over this. I guess you could say a few other sports are doing the same. You know, as we're watching here or recording this, I'm watching Iowa and Ohio State play basketball. They're adapting. And I see the referees with their masks on. And they're adjusting. They're overcoming. And other leagues too, not just college basketball. But you know what? It's the freaking Super Bowl, and the Bucks are in the Super Bowl. I still can't freaking believe it. I'm just geeked beyond words. It's really something else. This whole season, it's something else, man.
And Steve, you know, Lee makes a great point about the pandemic and the league response. Forget about canceling the season, because that wasn't going to happen. But Steve, what if they would have cut it off maybe after week 12? You know, we're going to go right to the playoffs. I mean, you know, that was a possibility. And Steve, the Bucks were 7-5. They were going to make the playoffs at that point. But Steve, they might have been the seventh seed in the NFC at that point instead of the 5 seed. And, you know, they don't get to play the Washington football team in round one, if that's the case. You know, they probably have to play New Orleans in first round. And who knows what happens, Steve? Who knows what happens? So in that regard, thank God the season played out the way it did in its entirety. And here the Bucks have already made history, Steve, and I think they got a chance to make a little more history on Sunday.
Well, Ira Lee was talking about adapting, and really the best way to adapt, you know, in this Super Bowl season and this historic time is to just head to Bill Curry Ford and upgrade to a new 2020 Ford F-150 XLT loaded with 3.5 EcoBoost. After your Bill Curry Ford Sean Sullivan 10 grand discount and a factory rebate, you're going to walk out of that thing with an incredible price. And it is all right now at BillCurryFord.com. All the great February offers are there. And we just love to talk about Sean Sullivan, the GM, because he's fired up to help all Bucks fans all the time in any way he can. He's your personal insider in the car business. BillCurryFord.com. You can email him there. You can pop in. He's the insane right now with as far as being a Bucks fan. I think Sean's going to be crying. He's going to be weeping tears of joy all Sunday night into Monday if the Bucks pull this thing off. Support a Bucks fan. Support a great company. 60 years in Tampa. Bill Curry Ford. And Ira, you might have to get into a truck after you've spent a year now in that cherry red Ford Escape. If the Bucks win, we have to see what we can do.
Sean Sullivan's going to be in such a great mood. He might give you a discount on top of the usual discount. And don't forget to mention Joe Bucks fan. Steve, a couple of weeks ago, I had to get my Escape serviced. So they gave me a loaner car. It was a Bronco. Fantastic. It had 13 miles on it. It was a 2021. And I had it in my driveway for 2 or 3 days. And I went out to, you know, take the garbage out a couple of days ago. And I saw somebody walking their dog, a husband and wife. And they said, hey, we saw that silver car in your driveway, and it looked fantastic. And did you just get that? I said, no, it was a loaner from Bill Curry Ford. And they said, boy, that is one good looking vehicle. We may have to go down there. So, Steve, Sean Sullivan's going to be in a great mood, win or lose. He loves his Bucks. And mention that Joe Bucks fan sent you. You might get a discount on top of the discount.
Ira, fans are fired up to watch the Super Bowl. If they can't go, they're going to Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater. They're taking reservations, not too many left, so you can check that out. But number one thing to do is if you're drinking beer this weekend, make it Big Storm Beer. You can load up at the tap rooms. You can find out where to buy it near you at bigstormbrewery.com. Punch in your zip code. They're in Fresh Market. They're in various Hooters locations. Big Storm Beer, official beer of the podcast. This is the weekend to try it out. And if you want fun with Bucks fans, outdoors, fully covered, open air, great setup to watch the games. Ira, you'll be in that stuffy press box with your mask on, with Rick Stroud breathing on you. And when you could be at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater having a grand old time, a lot of distancing, a lot of open air, just a lot of loud fans, and just a lot of fun. So bigstormbrewery.com. Ira, what else stood out from you today from Bruce Arians or Tom Brady? This week, what's really hitting you as far as the Bucks the players themselves, the coaches, as you watch them virtually, of course?
You know, I've been waiting all year, virtually all year, for Tom Brady to open up a little bit, be expansive, talk about his two decades in Foxborough instead of telling us about how great the 5-7 Minnesota Vikings are. That gets a little old, Steve. And you know, I've been through it all year. I kept trying to, you know, have these great questions for Brady after the games, and he never answered them. He never answered them. And he was so focused on the next opponent. Well, now there's no next opponent after this game. And what has struck me, guys, is Brady has gone out of his way to give, you know, thoughtful, long, analytical answers to questions, very unlike during the regular season. And I think it's Super Bowl week. And here's a guy who's been through nine of them. He knows what's going on. And there's no opponent after the Chiefs to look forward to except Father Time, Lee. And he's already conquered that opponent. So I have been very impressed, Lee, because it seems like Brady has escaped that little protective shell. I know you've said, you know, you've had enough of Brady's clipped answers and the two-word answers, but I think he's been more expansive this week, and it's been a welcome sight.
But speaking of Brady and speaking of him open, Lavonte David did a podcast with Brian McFadden, former Florida State guy, and Pat Peterson. They're both teammates with the Cardinals. I never saw Lavonte David this open. Never, ever. I'm like, well, wait a minute. He was wearing a hoodie, and I'm like, am I sure that's Lavonte David? Is that not Devin White? I've never, ever, ever, I mean, never seen Lavonte David this open. And he was telling a story that after the NFC Championship game, he thought it was one of two wide receivers that was overcome with emotion and was crying, you know, because the Bucs were going to the Super Bowl. And Brady berated the guy, scolded the guy, knock it off, get a hold of yourself. We've got another game to play. This is just one step. Crying. And that is the kind of attitude and passion that Brady has brought to the Bucs. Showed him how to win. There's no doubt about it. The Bucs would not be in the Super Bowl without Tom Brady. I'm not just talking as a quarterback. I'm talking about a guy who knows what it takes to get to the Super Bowl. And he basically kicked this team in the rear end to get their act together, to practice harder, to play harder, to play smarter. And here they are. And I just thought that was just a fantastic story about Brady's attitude and mindset and standards.
Steve, you know what that speaks to? I was watching NFL Network the other day. I think it was Kurt Warner who was dissecting Brady and breaking him down. And Steve, he used a phrase that I think we've used on this podcast several times this season, which is, you know, besides talking about Brady's smarts and diagnosing, you know, defenses on the fly and getting rid of the ball quickly, all those things that we know, he talked about the Brady effect, EFFECT, and talking about how he raises the play of all his teammates. You know, now he's done it for two franchises, Steve. And I think that was a big part of what the Bucs were banking on and what Arians attracted Arians initially behind door number two. Besides, you know, the incredible football qualities that Brady brings, it's the intangible, Steve. And, you know, maybe some of us thought that was overrated. It was overblown. But, Steve, here we are. They're 14-5. They're on the brink of raising the Vince Lombardi trophy. And those Brady intangibles take center stage, Steven.
Yeah, they do. And that was really my focus with Todd Bowles when I was on his news conference, to actually ask Bowles, what is he actually doing for the defense? Because Arians came out and said, it was a really almost strange quote on Sirius, that Brady has done as much for the defense as he's done for the offense. And meanwhile, we know that these guys can't hang out together and they're not eating lunch together. And so, but Bowles was pretty open, shockingly, to really talked about how much he's been counseling going back to training camp, the young defensive backs, and talking to them about their body language and their reactions within plays. And, you know, Bowles made the point that you don't want to come back to practice the next day and have Tom Brady picking on you for something you, you know, should have learned the day before. And so we, that was really a direct answer, and it's pretty special.
You know, speaking of Todd Bowles, gentlemen, I just thought of this, and I think it's valid. The challenge that's presented itself in front of Todd Bowles for Sunday, I think the last time maybe that a defensive coordinator faced this kind of task in a Super Bowl was the guy that's going to be on the opposite sideline of Bowles on Sunday. And I'm talking about Steve Spagnuolo, who's now with the Chiefs, but he was with the Giants, Lee, and they played the 18-0 Patriots, the 2007 Patriots with Randy Moss, broke all offensive records, all of them. I think Brady threw 50 touchdowns, and I think Moss set the single-season record for receiving touchdowns. And what happened? Spagnuolo had an excellent game plan, and he got to Brady. He got him off his spot. Now, of course, it helps when you have Michael Strahan and Justin Tuck. Strahan's got a gold jacket for a reason. No matter what Warren Sapp wants to run him down for, he was a great player.
OC, wasn't he on that team as well?
Now you got Todd Bowles trying to figure out how the heck do you contain the Chiefs. You know, Lee, I think we're reading maybe too much into the second half of that first matchup where, oh, you know, the Chiefs didn't do much on offense in the second half. Well, first of all, they had a nice lead, Lee. I think they lost a little bit of their aggressiveness in the second half. The Bucs never led in the game. They never had the ball with a chance to get the lead. And they're two different teams since then. And, of course, Andy Reid and Bieniemy have had 2 weeks to figure out what the Bucs were doing, Lee. So I wouldn't read too much into that first matchup like, oh, Bowles has they got the number now. They know what to do with the mixing up the zones and the man. And it's still a formidable task, Lee. And as far as Bowles' reputation going forward, I think this is a big, big game for Todd Bowles.
Bill Cowher was on SiriusXM NFL Radio a couple weeks ago. And Kerwin asked Cowher, how would you defend the Chiefs? How would you defend Tyreek Hill? And Cowher said, the last three quarters, the Bucs played them. That's how you defend them. That's Bill Cowher. I think we all agree. Cowher has an idea of what he's talking about when it comes to defense. Number two, Steve wrote this perfect story Thursday morning on JoeBucksFan.com. Let's knock off the Tyreek Hill slurping. He's not Jerry Rice. Hell, the Falcons. I wrote this story Thursday night right before we recorded. The Falcons held him to 65 yards. The Falcons. The Dixie Chicks. Number four pick overall. So let's lay off this Tyreek Hill. Nobody can stop him. Just calm down. I'm really liking the Bucs' chances here. Yeah, Tyreek Hill and those guys have had 2 weeks to prepare for Bowles, and Bowles has had 2 weeks to prepare for them. I'm just really liking the Bucs' chances. Steve made just a hell of a point with that article. Tyreek Hill is not God's gift to receiving. He's good. He's very dangerous. I love watching Cheetah, and the Chiefs are damn good. They're not unbeatable.
Sage, Cheetah, 10 games this year, less than 80 yards. Great receiver, dangerous receiver. We talked about this last podcast, but I think it gets a little bit, tiny bit overblown. Sage, you made that great point about Andy Reid having time to prepare with Eric Bieniemy. You know, Reid has that impressive 25-7 combined mark when he's either coming off a bye week or with the bye week before the Super Bowl. So that's not a coincidence. We've heard about this for years, even when he didn't have the best teams. 25-7, that's kind of what the Bucs are up against when you're talking about a guy with extra time to prepare. Now, when you don't have time to prepare, Ira, is when you have a disaster. That's when you need to strike fast because you got a leak, you find a ton of mold behind something, under the sink, wherever it is. You have to call Florida's Elite Restoration immediately. Florida's Elite Restoration. Get to their website to see what they do. That's floridaselite restoration.com. You can call them 24/7. They're going to respond to you, and they're going to come out and give you a free assessment of what's going on. You want to call them before you call your insurance company so you can call your insurance company intelligently, or have Florida's Elite Restoration handle everything so you don't get ripped off. This is critical stuff We joke about it. We kid around about mold, Ira, but people really should know. Florida's Elite Restoration, great local company, service the whole Tampa Bay area. Honest, that's your first call. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. One thing that gets a little bit overblown, Ira, and I did this just for you. Just for you, Ira. You ready for this?
I'm ready, baby.
So I actually jumped into Ryan Suckup's news conference, and I asked him about the South End Zone. I asked him about the dreaded South End Zone where nobody can kick. So Suckup in Tampa this year, he only missed one field goal and one extra point. So obviously the side of the field makes no difference to him, but I asked him anyway. And essentially, you know what he told me, Ira? He basically said in a very nice way, you might want to ask somebody else about that because I just go out and kick and I heard about it. But, we've had different wins this year and I don't know. You might want to ask somebody else about that.
Well, you know, it goes to Lee's point, which is a great one. And Lee was tired of seeing an endless stream of kickers who play in domes come into Raymond James Stadium and have very little trouble kicking field goals, even in the South End Zone, week after week. And here comes the parade of buck kickers. And after all these misses, we're hearing all these excuses about the dead spots and the crosswinds of the South End Zone. Lee, sounds like a whole bunch of excuses at this point.
Well, I remember Cutter brought that up at a press conference. He said there was a study, and one of the studies was the South End Zone of Tampa was supposedly one of the toughest in the league because of the winds. And I'm like, well, wait a minute, it's not Pittsburgh. At any rate, whatever end zone that is where the river is, there's only been, three field goals in that stadium's existence over 50 yards on that side of the field? It's crazy. But there were dome kickers that came in and out-kicked Matt Gay, including in the South End Zone. So it's like, come on.
You know, Steve, the injury report's looking better and better from a buck perspective as the week goes on. Steve, at this point, I'd be surprised, maybe even shocked if Whitehead and Winfield and maybe even Antonio Brown aren't, you know, they may not be 100%, Steve, but they're going to play. They're not going to miss a game of this magnitude.
We'll see. I mean, injuries are injuries. We're just sitting here on a podcast throwing darts. We don't know. As Arian said, you got to be fair to the team and you got to be honest with him as the head coach. We know you want to play in the Super Bowl, but don't lie and say you're 85% when you're really 70. So hopefully they'll get that kind of buy-in from the guys, especially Antonio Brown. If his knee's not right and he's just looking for a new contract, then, don't go out there if you're not ready. We got plenty of receivers. Yeah, you're not needed necessarily. The one-liner, Ira, from Todd Bowles, I pulled it up here while we were chatting. He said, Brady, just talking to the guys coming out to practice and after practice, and this is a quote, just monitoring how they mentally feel after plays and how they look after plays. And think about this. Tom Brady's got to come here, learn a new offense, learn a new team. He's interacting with new coaches. And he's studying the body language and their mentality of his cornerbacks so he can coach them up. I mean, it's insane.
Lee, the attention to detail with this number 12, it's beyond belief, Lee. It's beyond belief. And if he's, trying to do body language, as Steve mentioned, of Sean Murphy bunting after, Brady threw a 14-yard square out to Chris Godwin. I mean, that's off the scales. You would think he's got enough to do with his own side of the football, but that's Brady. He's all about getting to his goal, and he's only got one goal, and that's winning it all. And anything less than that is a bad season, Lee, and that certainly raises the level of everybody around him, especially, Lee, in a city like Tampa. I call it an NFL backwater, not a backwater, but an NFL backwater, certainly. Over most of its 45-year existence, this has not been a good organization, Lee. It's been a losing franchise for the vast majority of it. There's some pockets of success, 1979, and, then you had the late 90s and the early 2000s, and And now you got now. So, you know, that's not a lot in 45 years, Lee. And Brady's one of a kind. No wonder Arians wanted him so desperately, Lee, so desperately. Probably didn't think he really had a shot at him, but he wanted him. And he mentioned his name. I think, Lee, you were there when he first mentioned his name. You were probably surprised that he would bring up Brady, you know, by name at an NFL combine. That doesn't happen very often.
It was Steve that asked him the question. If you had to pick up the phone, who would you call? He said Brady. So credit Steve. Steve is the one asking him the question. He was answering Steve's question. By the way, Ira, I got a question about something. I don't think he meant it this way, but NFL backwater, that's a charged term. You don't mean that this is a lousy NFL market and people are a bunch of lednecks. And what you're talking about is the organization itself, the team, not necessarily the fans or the market.
I appreciate that, Lee. I'm talking about the scoreboard and the standings. By the way, speaking of Arians, I'm proud of him because he stays in character. And that tells me he's not a phony, Steve. He's not a phony. He's loose. He's confident. He's still getting off his one-line quips, you know, that is feeding headlines all around the league. And that's because other coaches don't talk like him, including Andy Reid. I mean, everybody loves Andy Reid. But, you know, he doesn't have the gift of gab like Bruce Arians. Very few do. I just love the fact that Arians is staying true to who he is. Lee, he looks, Steve, he looks relaxed and he looks confident. And I think that should give Buck Nation confidence.
Yeah, well, look, he just got a week off and he's already admitted that he doesn't do that much. So it's, hey, life is good. You know, he's working on getting his mom into town for the Super Bowl. You know, he does look extremely relaxed and extremely at peace. And one thing that he did say, Ira, I didn't write it up for JoeBucksFan.com, but it's something we can talk about down the road. But, you know, he's been really pushing Byron Leftwich this week, making all the noise that he can. And we talked about this last podcast, you know, saying that he wouldn't be coaching without Leftwich and he doesn't do crap and it's all Leftwich. It was very interesting. On Sirius, he talked about Tom Moore's role. And Tom Moore, when they're about to face a team very early in the week before they're even cooked a game plan, literally like when the previous game is over, Tom Moore turns over an entire game plan to Byron Leftwich. And then they go from there. Very interesting that Moore is really, really involved. Arians even said that Tom Moore, he said between the smoking and the drinking of Tom Moore, and that his blood work is better than everybody there, and he's healthy as a horse, and he's going to keep rolling on.
You know, Steve, I've been called the sage of Tampa Bay sports, but when the virtual interview started this week, I went straight to Tom Moore, and a lot of people did, because first of all, he hasn't been available very much this season.
And he makes you feel young, Ira. He makes you feel young.
He does, but, you know, the guy's got 40-plus years experience in the NFL, and you got to respect that. God bless him. You know, I just think that Arians looks like a guy who knows something. And, Steve, as far as Leftwich and Arians is concerned, this came up on the Mad Dog when I talked to him on Wednesday. You know, he used Bieniemy as an example of, like, well, nobody knows what's going on with that KC offense. And it is an offensive head coach, so you don't know what the heck Bieniemy's role is. You know, is he really that involved? Is he a figurehead? Whereas, you know, you get an offensive head coach and a great defensive coordinator, you know, like the 49ers had with Shanahan, and you got Saleh. Everybody knew that he was in charge of that defense without much interference from the head coach. And when Russo was talking about Bieniemy, I started thinking about Byron Leftwich, guys. And I think Arians is fighting, trying to fight that perception, the narrative that Arians is really, you know, has full reins of this offense. And, you know, who knows what Leftwich is doing. And I think that bugs Arians. It bugs him. We don't know exactly what the truth is, guys. We got to be honest. But at this point, Arians is really pushing for Leftwich, you know, to rise in the ranks. And I think he's going out of his way because he knows that perception's out there, Lee, that, who's really calling the shots with that Buck offense? And that's a problem for Leftwich going forward.
Two things. One, he's got a guy that has a pipeline to Brady, a very popular podcast. The guy is very hooked into the NFL. Two of his sons work in the NFL. One's a coach on the staff of the Ravens. The other's working with Belichick. And this guy, more than a couple times on his podcast, very popular podcast, is absolutely adamant that Leftwich is nothing but a figure. And that guy's name is Michael Lombardi. He's absolutely adamant that Leftwich is just a figurehead, that it's Arians and it's Brady, and Leftwich is just there. Number two, Leftwich has to hire someone to help him out with the press conferences. I won't mess with his press conferences anymore because they're a joke. I know he was asked at one time about play action passes, and he said, why don't you call these more? All the stats show that Brady's statistics when he does play actions are through the roof. How come you don't call them more? And he's like, I don't know. You don't know. You're the offensive coordinator, you fool. I mean, if you're an owner, do you want to hire a guy when asked a question like that? He says, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? How could you not know? You're supposedly the offensive coordinator. I mean, he's got to go out and hire a consultant in the offseason to coach him up how to be better at the press conference. Because you know what? That's very visible. And owners see that. You know those owners. I don't care who an owner interviews. They're going to go over those videos of, you know, how he handles himself in a very public profile. And if he looks like an idiot, they're not going to hire him.
As far as the, that you need clarity that this guy really controlled his side of the ball, Steve, you don't have to look any further than Arthur Smith getting the Falcons job, working for a defensive head coach that they scored a ton of points this year, Steve, and Arthur Smith got the credit, and nobody's got to worry about Mike Vrabel, you know, telling Arthur Smith what to do. So I think those are factors, and I think it's hurting the enemy under Andy Reid.
Ira, you have chosen the Buccaneers. You picked them to win. You are not hiding it. It is out there. Your column's at joebucksfan.com. Why should Bucks fans immediately take out their ATM cards, head to the, do what they need to do, place these bets, because the Sage is calling for a victory on Sunday?
The Bucks have a better team, gentlemen. I made the point in the column, and I'm sticking with it, that the three best players on the field might be wearing Chief uniforms. And by that, I mean Mahomes, Kelce, and Hill. And yes, Kelce's better than Gronkowski at this point, people. Mm-hmm. Let's not kid ourselves. And Hill's more dangerous than Mike Evans. Let's not kid ourselves. And Mahomes is the X factor. But, Lee, the 49ers were better than the Chiefs, and that's what gives you a little bit of a pause. Because I think the Bucs have a better team, especially in the trenches. And they say that's where the game's won and lost. But you always got that Mahomes X factor, Lee. I thought the 49ers had a better team than the Chiefs. I still do. And they were in total in control of that game until Mahomes makes a play that only Mahomes and maybe only Hill can make and turn that game around. I mean, the Niners were in control, Lee. We all saw it. Nobody thought the Niners were going to blow a 10-point lead with that defense with 7 minutes left. So that gives you a little bit of a pause to pick against the Chiefs. But, Lee, I just think they are going to hound Mahomes. They're going to harass him. They're going to hound him. They're going to get him down on the ground a couple of times. They're going to force some mistakes. They're going to get some holding penalties on that lousy offensive line that's held together by string in Kansas City. And I think Vea and Sue will provide some interior rush. We know what the edge guys are going to do. And I think that's going to take a lot of pressure off the Bucs secondary. Alleviated enough where they can make some plays. We're all in agreement that Brady's going to score some points in this game. I mean, let's not overreact about the Chiefs' defense. It's decent, but it ain't better than New Orleans, and it ain't better than Washington. And we saw the Bucs put up plenty of points. So, Lee, I think top to bottom, the Bucs are the better team. The Mahomes factor, that's got to scare everybody that's got that bought a Brady uniform. I mean, Mahomes is Mahomes. But, Lee, I think in the end, the better team's going to win. I think the Bucks are the better team.
Well, I've been saying this for a couple weeks. The Bucks team that's been on a roll that brought them to the Super Bowl is not the same team that played the Chiefs. Bucks have been different teams since the bye. The offensive line's playing better. The defense is playing better. Antonio Brown is healthy, he's getting healthier, but he wasn't much of a factor against the Chiefs. So I think that's critical that they can get him on the field. No, of course he's not healthy. They don't even know if he's going to play.
Fournette's playing a lot better.
Vita Vea did not play against the Chiefs.
Right.
And man, did he make a difference against the Packers. He made a huge difference. Vea was going up against Corey Linsley, and he was toying with the guy. He was absolutely toying with the guy. And Linsley is a Pro Bowler, if I remember correctly. Jamel Dean also, and I'm not saying Jamel Dean is Lester Hayes, but he did not play against the Chiefs. So you have that. I just think this is a different team, and I think the Bucks are on a roll. And by the way, Ira, last night I heard your old buddy talk about this game. Your old buddy Dante Scarnecchia. And you know, they were
long time O-line coach for the Patriots. Yeah.
Yeah. Widely considered a wizard offensive line. He's really worried about the Chiefs offensive line because, you know, they got three new guys at three new positions. And in a handful of days, they have to play a Super Bowl. And he said that has to be an impact. Normally, you would keep your tight end inside to help.
Right.
Like, I can't imagine that Kansas City wants to keep Kelce inside. He's a significant weapon in the offense. And if you keep him inside the block, then your passing game's going to – that's a major cog you're pulling out. So he can't see that. He can't see the Chiefs doing that. Therefore, your offensive line, uh-oh. Now, he said this, if JPP and or Shaq are not MVPs, the Bucs lose.
Interesting.
Also, something that a lot of us are forgetting to factor in about Mahomes, he's got a turf toe injury.
Yes. Lee, he didn't look hobbled against Buffalo. He did not. Hey, Steve, one more guy that we haven't mentioned, Steve, and I haven't said this on the podcast, but, you know, it's the end of the season, and I think this guy deserves, he's really grown on me, and that's Ndamukong Suh. The guy is a hell of a professional. He never misses a game. You know, I wasn't sure how motivated he would be this year. He's all in. This guy's all in, and he's hungry. Bruce, Mad Dog asked me the other day, Steve, I don't know if you heard it, but how many Hall of Famers are playing in this game? So, you know, we went over, you know, Brady and Gronkowski and maybe Kelce and, you know, a couple other guys. And I mentioned Ndamukong Suh. I never really thought about him in that sense. You know, he made the All-Decade team, Steve, of the 2010s. He's had a considerably better career than Gerald McCoy. I don't think there's any question about it. You know, he's put in two really good seasons with the Tampa Bay Bucks. Steve, you got to give it up for this guy. He's a real professional.
Maybe 3-4 podcasts ago, we talked about our stars of the year, stories of the year, and he was who I had picked out. And it's just a very unique situation. I think he's a slam dunk Hall of Famer, Ira. To be honest with you, when you look at his the defenses that he's been on, there's some really interesting stats out there. How many number one defenses he's been on against the run, in addition to his all-time stats again as far as sacks and two Super Bowls now and multiple Pro Bowls with multiple teams. And it's a very interesting resume. Plus, he's never missed a game other than being suspended. You know, you Hall guys, I love the Iron Man stuff. Ira, I wanted to ask you this. As far as the game goes, I think we saw some nerves on some key Bucks figures, and I'm wondering if that's going to go fall into play in the game. You know, Mike Evans didn't have the greatest hands in the last game. Chris Godwin's had some issues. Ronald Jones completely disappeared in his 10 touches in Green Bay. And I don't think there's anything else to blame other than nerves or just inexperience. I don't know what else to put it on. And I wonder how much of that stuff is going to show up. I do agree with you that the Bucs are the better team. I really think they are the better team. But I don't think the Chiefs are going to have any of those nerves. I think Andy Reid's coaching staff has to get a little bit of the edge. And I'm just a little bit worried about that the Bucs getting off to a slower start because they're just a little bit tight. I don't think you can afford any lost possessions in this game.
Well, fair point, Steve. But I'll tell you who's not going to be nervous. when the whistle blows, and that's number 12 on the center, and number 87, whether he's blocking or catching the ball, and he could be a big factor in the passing game. We'll see how the Chiefs handle him when he goes out the routes. But you know, Gronkowski has a history, Steve, of playing big in the big games. He's kind of laid low a little bit, although he did have that 29-yard scamper with that screen pass. I love the tight end screen, Lee. And don't be surprised if the Chiefs throw a lot of screens at the Bucs, because if the Bucs are blitzing like crazy, which they might in an effort to unnerve Mahomes, and I don't think the Bucs have to blitz a lot Sunday, but, you know, they're a heavy blitzing team. They are all season.
Ira, I got to cut you off here. Because you're trying to tell me that Gronkowski's laying low. Do you realize the last time this guy has had a big day for the Bucs? Laying low, he's got two catches in the playoffs, Ira. Before that, you know, he had a couple catches here, there, whatever. His last big game was against Kansas City, so that's interesting. It'll be interesting to see how they might want to counter the way they played last time, but he's pretty much laid low for most of the season, Ira.
Steve, you can say what you want. They've gotten enough production out of Gronkowski, I think, to justify having him on the roster. And most importantly, and I think even you'd have to acknowledge this, Brady has unshakable faith in Gronkowski. That's just a fact. And Brady might say that Godwin's got the best hands of anybody he's ever seen. Which, by the way, Lee, we haven't witnessed during the postseason, certainly. But I'm not too worried about Godwin. But Gronkowski and they got such a history together, such a winning chemistry. You don't just blow that up in the biggest game of the year. I think Gronkowski's going to play a role. Cameron Brate's a little banged up. I just think Gronkowski, center stage, Super Bowl Sunday, Brady on the other end. Don't count out number 87 making some big plays, especially in the red zone.
We'll see, Ira. I hope you're right. But I got to, in this seven-game winning streak, Ira, he's got a dozen catches in a seven-game winning streak. That's not your go-to guy that your quarterback is all of a sudden, you know, turning into his go-to guy, man of faith. I like him. I wouldn't get rid of him on the roster, but I don't know. He sort of hasn't been around in the playoffs. And I don't know if they'll need him to beat the Chiefs, but they might. It's just going to be interesting, Ira. On the defensive side, maybe I'm wrong. Lee, what do you think? I think they're going to test Devin White in pass coverage very quickly. And if he's coming on the blitz, they're going to have all sorts of short passes set up for the Bucs, because they want to keep Tom Brady off the field. They have to be thinking that's the way to beat the Bucs, is to chew up the clock, get your shots. I think they're going to come after Devin White in coverage if he's not blitzing.
They might come after Devin White, Lee, but as far as keeping the ball for long drives, Lee, that's not the Chiefs' MO. It's just not what they do. And I don't think they're going to change that just because they're playing the GOAT. The Chiefs are known, Lee, for going 75 yards in about, you know, a minute 40. That's what they do. 35-yard catch and run by Hill, you know, 18-yarder to Kelsey over the middle, you know, 6-yard run, and then, you know, 12 yards to Hardman. And next thing you know, they're on the 4-yard line. They are not a nickel and dime attack. So, Steve, I'm not with you on that one. But as far as Devin White is in coverage, Lee, I'll tell you one thing. If they tell Devin White to cover Travis Kelce, that's going to be a mismatch. That's going to be a mess. And it's not that Kelce's quicker than Devin White or faster than Devin White. Of course not. Of course he's not. But, you know, look, Devin White is not a polished guy in coverage. And Kelce is a fantastic, not just good, a fantastic route runner. He's fantastic. He's got the moves of Steve Largent, you know, in a tight end's body. So, you know, there's not a linebacker in the league that can stay with this guy, let alone Devin White. So I don't see Todd Bowles latching on to the number 45 and say, you got Kelce. That would be as foolish as what they did in game one, telling Carlton Davis, you got Hill. We saw how that worked out.
That's true. But you know what? Devin White's been playing better against the pass. Maybe he's got it figured out. You know, the Saints tried to test him, and we saw what happened there. So maybe he's finally figured that out. Since he got back from his COVID suspension, his COVID hibernation, for lack of a better term. He's been a wild man. He's been all over the place.
Yes. Lee, didn't you pick the Chiefs? I can't remember.
No.
Well?
We didn't make a pick, Ira. We just I just mentioned that you made your pick. I want to say the Bucs are going to win this behind two things. The thing that hasn't failed them all year, which is their run defense. And as crazy as it sounds, that's got to come through in a big way. I think it will, in order to just force the Chiefs into more that one or two extra more difficult series that maybe you get a mistake from Mahomes, or maybe you get some more punts than usual from the Chiefs, which is what happened the last time they played. I think the Chiefs punted three times, which is like a new record for them. And I think the Bucs are going to be able to run the ball, and I'm sure they want to run the ball. The Bucs hold the ball less than the Chiefs do, Ira, as far as time of possession, and it's going to be critical in a lot of different ways and to get the balance they're looking for. And I think they're going to have a couple of running backs and an offensive line that's going to be able to win. And I think that's going to do it in a tight game. I really do.
What score, Steve?
27-24.
Oh, the opposite of the first matchup. Just changing who's got the 27. There you go. It's a tough one for you, DeKemper. You going with your heart or you going with your head, Lee?
Both. I like the way the Bucs are playing. And two of the Bucs' bitter rivals are actually thinking the Bucs are going to pull this out. Sean Payton's been on a media tour the last couple of days. He said, history suggests do not discount the team that won three road games to get to the Super Bowl. He didn't come out and say what I've said. You know, this is a different Bucs team, but he thinks the Bucs are playing their best football, which you would hope so if they're in a Super Bowl. And he likes the matchups, or he likes the way the Bucs have changed things offensively and defensively. And he just said, look out. And then there's Matty Ice, Matt Ryan. He made an appearance on CBS Sports HQ yesterday, or today, actually, today being Thursday. And he said, as much as it pains me, I'm taking Tampa. He said, they gave me, their defense gave me more fits than anybody. Remember, the third last game, Atlanta played the they played the Bucs in Atlanta. The second last game, they went to Kansas City and choked away a lead in the fourth quarter. And the final game, they played the Bucs. So their last three losses of the season all came to the Super Bowl teams, and he's picking the Bucs.
And Steve Ryan and Sean Payton are both guys that played both teams during the regular season. So, Lee, we're waiting for your pick, baby. What score and what's going on?
38-35 Bucs.
And the confetti raining down.
There it goes, Ira. A few tiny little quick nuggets, Ira, just for fun. Doug Williams, I did not realize that he hired Todd Bowles for his first coaching job. Williams was with Morehouse College. He hired Bowles as his defensive coordinator, and then Bowles followed him over to Grambling. So I thought that was pretty cool. I heard a good interview with Williams, a friend of yours, Ira. And you know what? That's a money column for you to call your buddy Doug Williams and say, tell me about 23-year-old or 32-year-old Todd Bowles and why you hired him. Yeah, it's kind of a neat little nugget there, considering that Doug Williams' name will be up there on the rafters, you know, within the Ring of Honor when the Super Bowl is being played, which is pretty cool. Another little quick nugget for you, Ira. Tom Brady, he's kicked his family out of his house so he can sit alone for 12 days and study film and not be disturbed. Is that what you did with your wife when you had to prepare your Hall of Fame speech for John Lynch, who, if you don't get Lynch in, Ira, I think people are going to start throwing rocks at your house or something.
Well, the big point is I didn't kick her out during our honeymoon in the hotel room. That's the important part. She was there with me every step of the way. You know, my beloved Carrie, you know, my better half, she's the one who's got these shadow boxes of Warren Sapp, Derek Brooks, Tony Dungy. I see them, you know, every morning in my family room in that little Hall of Fame shrine corner of mine. I'm hoping to add at least one shadow box after this weekend, maybe two. You never know. And Ed Sable, he'll get his. He'll get a little figurine on top of my kitchen table, a little Ed Sable figurine. It's all about Bucks centric, And Sable doesn't have any Tampa ties as far as I know. So he doesn't get the shadow Boxley. Not yet. But it's all good. And the next time we talk next week, it's going to be post-Super Bowl. They're going to have to get the confetti out of my hair because you know me, Steve. I might work my way down to that field just to hear the Glazers sing the Buccaneer fight song from 1976. I'm going to get past security somehow.
When you said,
watch me.
When you said confetti in your hair, I said, what hair? What are you talking about? All right, Sage, look, we have an exciting and important podcast coming up Saturday. We're going to get an immediate podcast out after the Hall of Fame vote is in with some final thoughts on the Super Bowl. We could talk about all kinds of things all day, but we'll have more nuggets. And, of course, our thanks to Big Storm Beer. Big Storm Beer is what you need to drink all through the Super Bowl. Not, though, when you're driving over to Bill Curry Ford to get your car appraised, trade it in, and get one of the great deals there. BillCurryFord.com. But in all seriousness, if you want to watch the Super Bowl and have a lot of fun with fans, follow Big Storm Brewery, Odessa, Big Storm Brewery, Clearwater on Facebook, and you can see all the stuff they're doing for the Super Bowl. And of course, we love our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. Hopefully you won't need them this glorious Super Bowl weekend. But if you have a mold problem or you've got a leak or you've got any kind of disaster in your home, that's your first stop, floridaselite restoration.com. Sage, control yourself. Lee, hang tight. Don't get too stressed. And get your Super Bowl credentials, boys, and we'll see you on the weekend.